So we do have this opportunity to ruminate a little bit on what has been given. And Laura, you had some thoughts you want to share, so go right ahead.
Well, I think, you know, when Brother Sparks is talking about getting back behind the illnesses, the physical things, the circumstantial pressure, getting behind it, I know that we just so readily accept, because it's real. We're human. We get ill. We do. I think what he's saying isn't he, that if we don't first test it and just don't accept it, especially the chronic, you know,
it
stuff that is keeping us away from the assembly, from even being fruitful in the things of the Lord. But I think Brother Sparks is the example of that. Because if a lot of people don't know that Brother Sparks had horrible, he had digestive problems, real serious digestive problems, and I think back problems too. And I do believe he finally had surgery for one of these.
He had inflammation of the lining of his stomach that almost cost him.
Yes, inflammation of the lining of his stomach. But he continued ministering. So even though these things were real, he did not let them... Pardon me?
They didn't rule.
They didn't rule, yeah. And I think that even that, the triumphing over the illness by saying, it's okay, I can keep going on, I can, in spite of this. But I'm sure from what Brother Sparks wrote that he did spiritual warfare against these things. And if they didn't subside, then
he assumed
resurrection life.
That's right.
And he went on, and it was a miracle. And I remember reading this, I believe, in one of the biographies of Sparks, that it was a miracle that he was on that stage speaking, that he barely could get out of bed that day, but he did it. And that was done according to his faith.
Yeah.
And laying hold of resurrection life, even though he was still in tremendous weakness.
Yeah.
So I think that that's a challenge to us and our Western mindset.
It's an inspirational one, you know, because we don't have it in ourselves. We don't have the motivation.
We think of it, really.
The illustration that I remember on Mr. Sparks, that he almost died until he had this operation. And before he had the operation, not all the books, but many of the books, over 100 books that he wrote, were transcribed messages. And they're just, and a lot of them are in that form now. But sometimes those messages he would go through and edit and put them into books. So most of the books that you have are originally given and spoken messages, and he would edit, and then he would go back and put them into book form. So there was a series of messages that he gave at a conference titled "The Battle for Life." That's in the book section on tlsparks.net. Battle for Life. As I was reading from an individual who was there at the original conference, he said that Brother Sparks, when he gave that series of messages, the Battle for Life, that he was so ill he couldn't even stand. He always stood when he spoke. He had to sit. He had to sit through the entire conference. But when you read the Battle for Life, he makes no reference to what he was going through. And that is a manifestation of the resurrection life operating through him, demonstrating that even those physical conditions were not the final say. Those physical conditions were real, but he assumed, Romans 8:13, if the life that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the life of Jesus dwells in you. And the if is assuming it's true. Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he, that spirit, will give life.
He raised Christ Jesus from the dead.
Yeah. He will give life to your mortal body. So how much do we know of that? And I think we ask the Lord to teach us to have the kind of faith that even in these circumstances which are real. They can even have a medical diagnosis. That's all real, but it doesn't mean it's the truth. It doesn't mean it's the truth. And you've heard me say this before, and I will just summarize it. When Brother Hume was in jail, broken legs, could never walk again, he was jumped out of a building and broke his legs, and they beat him with the truncheons, and he says, "You'll never preach the gospel again." He was put in prison. And when God told him to get up and leave, he couldn't. But anyway, I'm not going to go into all this. You can read this in The Heavenly Man, the incredible story of Brother Yoon. God told him to get up and go out, and he thought he was hearing voices and couldn't believe it. But then when Pastor Shu came in, the angel opened the locked door and says, "The Lord is telling you to get up and leave." And so he got up and left and miraculously got out of that maximum security prison. And he didn't realize until he got in the car that he was healed. Because when he was down and he was completely depressed and he was complaining to the Lord, "I'll never be able to preach the gospel again." And then the Lord just spoke to him very gently. "You know what you're going through, my son, is real." And he felt, "Oh, I feel so comforted the Lord's listening to me." And there was a pause. But he said, "It's not the truth. Your condition is real, but not the truth." So if he'd gone to a doctor and say, "You know what, you just need to have more faith." "No, that's real. I have broken legs. Never going to be able to walk again." So when Pastor Shu went into that cell and his door was opened automatically for him because he was in another cell, commanded him to go out. He says, "The Lord is telling you to get up and go." And so Brother Yoon said, "Oh, I guess that was the Lord telling me." So he just got up. He didn't think about anything. He said, "Well, Lord, you got to heal me first." He just got up and walked out. And then when he goes through the courtyard, it's not shot because there's a torrential downpour, and he goes out to the curb and a cab pulls up and he drives off. He's sitting there in the cab and he says, "Where do you want to go?" And he had to think about it, and then he was in shock. He realized that he was walking. He walked out. And one time he was being punished, and it was below zero, and he was stripped down. I think he might have been naked, and they put him in this place that was it was freezing cold, and he had, just to punish him. I don't know. He could have died. But they looked in there, the prisoners saw in there, they saw steam coming off of his body. Because obviously an angel was there providing warmth in the midst of this sub-zero weather. So keep him alive. So these are not special visitations of the Lord. These represent what God does when anyone that is committed to the will of God and believes the word of God above their circumstances. And I'm just touching the fringe of this. I can't say I'm there, but I want to be there. I want to be there, so that as things get really dark, what we call miracles is going to become normal. You want to return to normal? There won't be return to normal, but we're going to discover that God has a normal that's never happened in history, and we're going to have the opportunity to walk out that normal. As things get darker and more restrictive and more under the draconian control of Satan over churches, we're going to see the God of Isaiah 40-66 come into operation to those who have biblical faith. Do you have something else?
Well, just, thank you, honey. Just going back to Romans 8, you left out a phrase that it's the power of being raised from the dead. It says, so I'll just read the whole, you know, the whole verse. "But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, number one, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who indwells you." Paul says it twice. Wow. Who dwells in you and through his spirit who indwells you. Like, get it, folks? Get it, folks? It's not up to you. It doesn't depend on you. Let's not live on a low level anymore. Let's say, hey, this is reality. God is not a man that he should lie. His word is truth. His spirit dwells in me every minute of every day. I have been raised from the dead. I am born again. His spirit will never leave me. And so it is his spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and that same spirit raises me from the dead over and over and over, many times in life. And then another thing I'm going to do, and I encourage others, at least this is how the Lord works in me, instead of filing my paper back downstairs in the file that has hundreds of Sparks articles, I'm going to take phrases that are in here, because I know my memory and I know I'll forget, but I'm going to, like, it, if Brother Sparks says we must ask the Lord to keep us very much alive, etc., etc., and then we should ask the Lord that we may be so much in the Spirit when we come together for prayer. Oh, do ask him. Over and over he says, ask. So am I going to just hear this today, or am I going to have a little piece of paper that is accessible to me every time before we meet, Wednesdays, Fridays, Sundays, that I take back to the Lord and I pray and I say, do this. I've been led by the Lord, bless his name, to begin praying, Lord, manifest yourself in our assembly times. We can't just come together, read, and then go home. What is true Christian fellowship? What is the bond of love between one another? Folks. And yes, and I've been crying out. It's been a cry in my heart. And I saw it Wednesday, and I saw it Friday. I saw the Lord answer those things. He loves to answer prayer. He loves it when we lay hold of him and expect great things from him. Not from one another, not eyes on others or eyes on self, but eyes on him. Say, Lord, this is a gathering. We are gathering unto your name. So what does it look like for the living Christ to be released in each of us? In and through each of us when we're assembling. And of course then that goes out to the online listeners, who many of whom have no other fellowship. One little lady says, and she's a new acquaintance, she's just precious, and she's been emailing me, and she says, can I be received into your assembly as an online assembly member? I said, sure. Right. And she says, I realize assembling together isn't necessarily a physical thing. It is a spiritual thing. And it's true. So the Lord's extending that. So how is he expressed in each member? And I don't mean everybody every time. I mean, it's his choice. But are we allowing him? And are we expecting him to meet with us and be released through each of us? And I have seen he's released as we suffer with him in regards to a particular thing that he's having us pray. So anyway, I think Mark has me on that side, yeah. So, sorry, I'm very talkative, but this was tremendously inspirational, having read it many times in the past several years, and just think, well, if I can encourage you maybe to pray these things to the Lord every time before we meet.
Yeah, very good.
Because our brother Sparks is exhorting us to do that.
Yeah. So any other thoughts?
So Father God, we bow before you. And we just say, we want to need you, know that we need you more than anything else. Every breath we take, we inhale and we exhale. May our lives become more and more, we inhale the three persons of the Godhead. We inhale and exhale the three persons of the Godhead, relationally and in testimony. And in reality, it would be, Paul says, he is a chosen vessel of mine, Jesus speaking to Ananias. I must show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake, for he must bear my name before kings and Gentiles. So may we become bearers of the name. May we show forth that which is the evidence that Jesus Christ is alive from the dead, operational and functional in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.